This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. Good Monday morning.
Morning.
You got Sam Crenshaw along with Jason Longshore here, Noel White, other side of the glass. Greg is on, you know, where is he?
I think he's chasing a lead on that Milli Vanilli documentary that he's working on.
So while he's doing that, we got Jason Longshore back in the house on this Monday morning. We're going to say a good morning, Georgia, and good morning to the folks in Snailville. Was it Snailville? Well, everybody's somebody.
I was wondering. I couldn't remember what the tagline was for Snailville.
Yeah. Everybody's somebody, Snailville.
I think everybody is somebody everywhere, but I appreciate that about Snailville, yes.
That is their slogan.
I like it. That's very nice.
Welcome to this holiday Monday, and that's why we're here. You normally get the morning shift, but you're going to have us here this morning with you, and we're going to give Bo, Tiffany, and Michael a breather today. And we're here until 10 on what has been a first weekend without the NFL, but still a lot of sports stuff that took place over the last couple of days. And, an All-Star weekend, mm-hmm. Something different from the NHL, but the regular All-Star game last night, All-Star games or tournament, whatever. And we'll get into that today and how you liked that or how you didn't like it or if you think it's terrible. And once again, all weekend we talked about the relevance of All-Star games and how they evolve and do you still like them, considering the fact we have one coming to our town.
Mm-hmm.
Later this year.
It's interesting this weekend in the sports calendar because there's a huge opportunity for somebody to jump in and make it.
Yeah.
You have the Daytona 500 and that's traditional and that is a big deal. Does that go full blast mainstream across the board? Not quite, but it's a big event. All-Star weekend for the NBA can be a big event. It is a big event. It could be bigger, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite there what it used to be. But I still think there's room for something else. And, I'm going to come from the soccer perspective on this. Like, MLS starts the next weekend.
Right.
Would it be smart for Major League Soccer to have their first games the week after the Super Bowl and take advantage of a little bit of a open window?
I'm so glad you're bringing this up because my point will be, like, do they want to start when they want to start? Are you kind of customizing your to the NFL, which so many people are doing.
You have to. The NFL is the monster behemoth in the sports business. It just is. And you have to play off of that and use it for your advantage. You have to find a way to do it. And sometimes it's counter-programming because, on a Sunday night in the fall, a lot of people are going to watch the NFL game that night. Not everybody. You could give something to the other group that's not going to watch it,
right.
Might want to watch a soccer game, might want to watch a baseball game, basketball, whatever. You can find ways to do that. It's interesting that you could play off of it. The other thing about MLS, and just file this in your back pocket because I think this is going to happen. You have the World Cup coming in 26.
Right.
You're going to have a long break in 26 for the World Cup, because the games are going to be in all of our cities and you're not going to have MLS games going on. There's talk about Major League Soccer changing their calendar to fit more of how the European leagues are, where they start in the fall and end in the spring.
Okay.
So you could do a situation where maybe you're not starting your season the week after the Super Bowl, but maybe you're restarting your season for the second half after taking a winter break in that week after the Super Bowl, this one that we're sitting in. I think MLS would be really smart to do it. I think you could really capture a lot of the sports market.
NASCAR is already dealing with that right now, because they're going to have to deal with moving the Daytona 500 around to accommodate this possible 18th game and what it's going to do to the NFL schedule.
I think everybody's waiting to see what that does, because if NFL pushes back a week, everybody's got to kind of react. And look, if you're MLS, then you're in a good spot, because you're right in the right window.
Absolutely.
Does the Daytona 500 back up? And I think what we've seen in this past decade with the Daytona 500 are the effects of weather.
True.
You know, how many delayed races have we seen in these past 10 years?
We saw it again yesterday. And you know, that's the thing. You can't race it inside.
No.
So that's a part of it. And for a while, I thought, well, maybe they'll be racing today. You know, William Byron is your winner. A lot of crashes at the end and, you know, right down to the very end. But the day that started with a visit from the president, and you got the presidential limo driving a lap around the track before things started. And they got in, they got about 10 laps in. Once they got through with all the pump and ceremony, they got 10 laps in and the rain came.
Okay, here's the more important question about all the pump and the ceremony. Did Pitbull perform?
Pitbull did perform.
Okay, that was the important part.
He still got his pre-race concert in.
Mr. 305 got out there and did his thing.
That's him. He still did that yesterday. So there was a lot that went on before things got started. They had a long delay. And, you know, it ended under the lights. Not sure that they wanted to run it up head-to-head with whatever was happening as far as NBA All-Star game. Yeah. But, you know, it ended up running head-to-head at the same time, you know, with that, which we'll talk about that some. And we'll talk about our very own Trae Young, who expressed his feelings about the new format. We're going to hear that a little later.
Quite a few people did.
Yeah. Different. They're trying. But, you know, we talked about something yesterday, and we're going to get into it a little more as far as Atlanta United and its influence. At the top of the next hour, we're going to get into that some. But we talked about, you know, the possibility of something and what we're seeing with hockey and what they're doing in lieu of an All-Star game, and how what happened in the end may nudge the NBA in that direction.
Yeah, it might end up opening a door to them for a new potential format. You know, we talked about it yesterday. I think there's value in All-Star game formats. If anything, it's value for a celebration of that league. And, you know, maybe the actual game is far more secondary than it used to be. But there's value in the weekend or the week, depending on where you want to put it in the calendar. Like, you know, Major League Baseball will put it more in the midweek.
Mm-hmm.
The others will play it on the weekend. MLS has done it in the midweek. You know, you go back to 2018 when we had the MLS All-Star game here.
Right.
And that was a big event with Juventus coming to town. You had a lot of that pomp and circumstance. And I think Major League Soccer has developed from there to add a skills competition, add some other elements to it. It's an opportunity to put yourself out there and tell the story of your season, of your league, and how leagues take advantage of that. I think it says a lot about how forward thinking they are.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. We're looking to see that as things, you know, evolve. You know, we'd like to see a little touch of what was remain. You know, you'd like to do that, but also, you know, you want to see things evolve, especially for the younger folk. You want to see them tune in and have the same kind of passion and excitement about the All-Star games that we had. But you got to do some things a little different.
And you got to be smart, too. I mean, I think we're a lot more tuned in to wear and tear on these athletes' bodies, too. And, you know, you don't need to add that to a very crowded calendar as things stand right now. You know, like you get a whole bunch of games played for these guys. We talked about it with the Pro Bowl. They don't want to play another game.
No.
They don't need to play another game.
But I do want to see some football.
Kind of.
I want to see some football, because we're there to honor the best of the best with football. So I think there should be a football game.
Yeah, and I think with football specifically, I like the idea that we kind of threw around yesterday of doing something to where you're not asking the NFL stars to play another game.
No, you don't want to play another game.
Doesn't matter.
They're there to be honored.
You know, do we do that as the college all-star game? Do we tie the Senior Bowl into it?
Or do we put the two top high school teams in the country? Hello, Milton. The two top high school teams in the country and have them, that be part of the reward that they get to play.
Could you throw both in?
During Pro Bowl weekend.
Could you have both? Could you have one on Saturday night, one on Sunday afternoon? Yeah, there's a lot of potential there. I know they're doing some different combines. They're doing an HBCU combine
right here
coming up. Do you tie that into that weekend? Are there ways to make it a celebration of the sport
right in
the football side of things? For the NBA, I think they've got the celebration part down.
Right.
You know, NBA Saturday night, yeah, I'd like to see, you know, I think Ja Morant was talking about, oh, maybe this will get me to come into the dunk contest. Please.
Yes,
do
yes,
it.
Yes.
Please.
You know, we need someone to reverse the trend.
Bring your friends.
From the person who I always said, you know, kill the events, LeBron James, who, by the way, the biggest conversation coming out of last night is probably who didn't play in the All-Star Games or tournament. And LeBron James sat this one out last night, folks, you know, saying he didn't feel like he had recovered enough. He had a little problem, I think, with his leg and foot. And right now, with where his team is and who just joined the team and the fact that they're in a good spot right now, they're fifth in the West. Yeah. They've been playing very well of late. I think he's, you know, he says, obviously, do I want to go out here and be a part of this show, or do I want to see if we give ourselves a chance to be a real contender in the West?
No brainer.
So that's what he did.
Yeah, you have to. No brainer. I mean, if you're at all beat up, and again, it goes back to that wear and tear. You know, these guys do have to take care of their bodies, because ultimately a big game in 2 weeks for the Lakers is far more important than playing in, I can't even really call it an NBA All-Star game, because it was games and it was a whole different format. And I don't think anybody really loved it coming out of it. They've got the rest of the celebration part down in the NBA.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, you capture everybody's attention, even if it's, you know, a G League superstar who is winning the dunk contest. We're still talking about it. That clip went everywhere.
Absolutely.
I mean, dude jumped over IKEA.
Yep.
Come on, let's give him some credit. But the 3-point shootout, great. Like, all that stuff is really good. The celebrity game, fun. The game itself, they've got to find the right format for that. They've got to hit on something for the Sunday night portion of it, because last night didn't work.
Yep. And you talked about the celebration, and that's the thing you do watch for All-Star Game weekend. I mentioned yesterday, NBA All-Star Game is the one place where you see the greats from the present and past all in one spot.
That's huge.
The photo op is what you're getting. There's no other league that can do that for you, that will do that consistently.
Others should. The Major League Baseball should do more of that. You know, have an old-timers game. They used to do the old-timers game back in the day.
That's a big liability. Who wants to pay for that if somebody gets hurt out there?
I think Major League Baseball's got enough insurance. They can handle it.
I mean, you used to hear people talk about that, and those were a big deal. Every individual team would have old-timers day.
Yeah, and then you had the big one. I think Cracker Jack sponsored it. I remember that back in the day.
Yep.
You could do that, but you could tie in some other element to, you know, acknowledge the legends. You can do that in the NFL as well. You don't ask them to play, but you can do some kind of acknowledgement.
Well,
that's huge.
I guess you would do that maybe Super Bowl week is probably when you have a lot of
people. I tie it into my All-Star game. I think it gives you a different component to it, because the game itself in all of these is far more secondary than it used to be.
Yeah.
So you need something else. Let's play off of the history. And it's funny, because we talked about it a lot yesterday. We'll talk about it later this morning. You know, you had Saturday Night Live and their 50th anniversary last night, and they did exactly what we're talking about with having legends pop in with the new cast and do things together. And it celebrated the history of all of it while shining a light on what it is today.
Yeah.
If I'm the NBA, if I'm Major League Baseball, if I'm the NFL, if I'm MLS, if I'm the NHL, I'm tying that into my All-Star weekend celebration. The game is not going to be what it used to be.
Right.
Make the celebration bigger and acknowledge your past.
That's the thing. But like you said, that's a photo op. There's a picture. People tune in to see who's going to be there, just like we did with Saturday Night Live last night.
Yep.
You want to see who's
going to
be in the crowd. Absolutely. Me too. We want to see which guests were going to be there. It was a great time. And we're going to talk about that later on in our casting call segment. That's coming up this morning. But up next, My goodness, we're going to do a radio replay. This weekend, had a chance to check in with Grant McCauley, who's down at Braves spring training. We're going to hear from him, his thoughts on what's assembled there, maybe some players to watch who are into the big league camp and how things are progressing with some of the players who are coming back from injuries. That's coming up. All right, it is Sam, it is Jason in for the morning shift on this President's Day Monday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. You got Sam Crenshaw, Jason Longshore with you. Nine floors up in IKEA studio on this President's Day Monday morning. So glad that you're with us. Maybe if you have to get to work today or if you have the day off, just glad you're going to spare some of your morning with us. You know, baseball teams are at their training camps and spring training is underway. I think the first spring training games are coming up this weekend. So to get us ready for that, we checked in with Grant McCauley, who keeps an eye on all things for us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And he gave us an update from Braves spring training in this radio replay. Spring training has started, folks. Pitchers and catchers showed up this week, but a whole lot more showed up in the Braves spring training down in Florida. And joining us down the waitfor.com hotline, always great to catch up with Grant McCauley. He is our guy who has his eye on all things Major League Baseball, especially the Braves, and he joins us now. Grant, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Great to hear from you down that way. Hope your weather's a little bit better than what we got back here, man.
It's not bad down here, I'll say that. It's a little warmer than I expected. I was kind of joking a couple of days ago. It seemed like we were digging ourselves out of a little bit of snow up there in the Atlanta area, and now I'm down here and it's pushing 80 degrees, which let me just preface this by saying I'm not complaining. It's just a little bit different than it was.
Don't complain about that. You got the nice stuff down there.
I got the sunscreen on. We're ready to go.
All right. You've been there for a few days. The team, the pitchers and catchers showed up earlier in the week, along with a lot of the position players as well. What's the vibe you're feeling down there right now?
Yeah, really great vibe. And I think, if anything, and Braves fans who, you know, lived through 2024 the same way this club did, just wanted to see everyone come in and be healthy. And that's been kind of the big, you know, first, I think, impression of camp, is that this is a special group when healthy. And now they actually have a chance to go out there and do that again this year. Whereas 2024 seemed to be one thing after another, all the way through their brief stint in the playoffs, which was kind of a miracle they were even able to get there and check into that guest book. But, you know, you've got Ron Lacuna Jr. who's talking about feeling 90-95% ready to continue his work. We just got done talking to Spencer Strider, who is planning to pitch in spring training games and, you know, get back as soon as he can this year. Mindful, obviously, with a second major elbow surgery, but you can feel the optimism there. And when you talk to the veterans, the Chris Sales, the Austin Rileys, the Matt Olsons and the like, everybody recognizes that, hey, we don't have to come out here and say, hey, World Series are bust. We know the belief that we have in this club, and we know what we're capable of doing. We got to go out there and do it. So I think there's a renewed optimism that typically comes with spring training, but maybe a little bit more so for this Braves team this year, considering what they went through a year ago.
Great to be talking with Grant McCauley this morning, a host of From the Diamond here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and he is social. You can always find him at Grant McCauley, all lowercase, at Grant McCauley for the latest with the Braves. Ronald Acuna Jr. said, we got the best outfield in baseball.
Yeah.
People say, maybe you want to tap the brakes on that, but thoughts about what the potential of the outfield this year?
I mean, I don't think he's wrong. You start to look around and figure it out. You know, maybe in these great outfields, you've got a couple of guys that you feel really solid about. Maybe one of them's an MVP candidate. Who knows? But that's really what the Braves have, is, I think, a dynamic outfield with a MVP candidate who's on the mend, who feels like, and let's just talk about that for a moment with Ronald, he feels like he's so much more stable. His words, with his knee and everything he's doing on this ACL surgery, than he was in the first one. And obviously he's able to kind of draw from that experience to inform him on how to rehab and where he is and how hard to push it and all of those things. But I do feel like he's ahead of where he was a couple of years ago. So you put the MVP candidate there, you're going to get him back at some point. You know what kind of player he's capable of being. In center field, I've said this for a couple of years now, but I'll go on record again. I think it could just be the breakout season for Michael Harris II. He's one of the best center fielders in baseball, bar none. Defensively, he raises the bar, and I think there's another level for him at the plate that's going to come with experience and come with, you know, the just continued hard work that he's put in over his young career. And then you add an all-star left fielder in Jurickson Profar. So you start to look at all of it. You got a switch hitting left fielder who can bat anywhere in the lineup, who was, again, an all-star a year ago, once the top prospect in all of baseball for a number of years. a great dynamic Gold Glove style center fielder, and an MVP in right field. So when I put it all together, Sam, it sounds like to me the makings of perhaps the best outfield in baseball. So I'm not going to throw a flag on what Ronald Acuna Jr. said. I think it's pretty spot on. They just got to go out there and do it, and that's what Jurickson Profar was saying as well. Yeah, the capability's there. Now we got to go out there and do it. But that might kind of be the story of the entire 2025 Braves team. They know what they can be. Now it's about going out there and proving it.
Absolutely, folks. Spending time with Grant McCauley. He is there with Braves spring training. And when you talk about this outfield and we talk about their potential offensively, but also to me, defense is the biggest part of this. And that's what gives the confidence to your pitching staff. And that's what we want to get to now. This starting rotation is still taking shape. Who do you think our four to five people may be when these guys break camp and have to start the season? We know Strider won't be able to be among them, or will he?
Not for opening day, but, I mean, he is obviously eyeing, you know, getting back as soon as he can. So you look at three spots that I'm confident about in Chris Sale, the National League Cy Young Award winner, the All-Star Ronaldo Lopez, who I've had a chance to speak to as well, and Spencer Schwellenbach, who I talked to this morning. All of these guys, you know, give you that, I think, great basis for this rotation, awaiting Spencer Strider to become the fourth. It gets interesting after that, but I think that there may be a little bit more quality and quantity than people are realizing. Ian Anderson could be quite a redemption story if he's able to take that fifth spot. He is out of options, so the Braves have to make a choice. They can't send him to the minor leagues again. Either he breaks camp with the team and gets that opportunity, or it might be his swan song in a Braves uniform. But Bryce Elder, an all-star a couple of years ago, has been through a lot. He's still in that picture, but you've got some young guns that I would keep an eye on, whether it's A.J. Smith-Shawver or Hurston Waldrop. You know, these are the makings of what will be that fourth and fifth spot in the early going, and then you get Strider back. And the Braves, I know they had a lot of moving parts in the rotation a year ago. They didn't have Spencer Strider, and their rotation had the best ERA in baseball. They don't have Max Fried. They don't have Charlie Morton. And I think those losses are going to be, you know, felt both in the clubhouse and obviously on the mound. But they have, I feel like, the requisite staff that you need to feel confident about what they can do this year. It's all going to be predicated on health. There's really no two ways about that. We learned that lesson time and again last year. But from a personnel standpoint, I think the Braves feel strong about where they are. And we'll see if guys are able to go out there and post and Spencer Strider is able to come back and make an impact.
You talk about health, and I have to start with the guy that's behind the plate. I mean, my goodness, you know, Sean Murphy had his health issues last year. We know when he's healthy, what he's capable of doing, and one of the top-flight defensive catchers in baseball. And talk about him and who we might see. Will there be a competition for the backup spot there?
I think that of all the guys that we've talked to and talked about here in spring training in the early going, Sean Murphy's name has come up time and again as that one guy who really had kind of the lost season. I mean, he comes in, he does all the work to get ready, goes through all of spring training, and then in the sixth inning of opening day, strains his oblique, misses 2 months. I mean, Sean himself said, I just felt like my swing was just never quite right. And it wasn't a health thing, it was a mechanical thing. But when you hit pause in the middle of a baseball season for 2 months, I don't care who you are, there are going to be some challenges that come with that, and I think Sean was feeling that a lot. And he is a rhythm player, and he's a workhorse-style catcher. He's somebody that wants to be behind the plate, and that was the plan a year ago. Brian Snitker and Alex Anthopoulos both made no secret about, hey, we want Sean Murphy to catch 125, 130 games. Do the math. Travis d'Arnaud played a lot more than 35 or 40 games a year ago. So that plan changing was one of the many hurdles for the Braves, but nobody felt it more than Sean Murphy did. So I think he feels, again, like the new opportunities out there in front of him. He's healthy. He's ready to go put in the work. And the Braves are going to be relying on him to help lead this staff, because no Travis d'Arnaud is another absence that Atlanta's going to have to kind of recognize and work through. As far as the backup is concerned, I think Chadwick Tromp has the inside track on that job. But a lot of eyes are going to be on Drake Baldwin, the Braves' number one position player prospect, their young catcher. He was in the Futures game last year. He had a very good showing in international ball over the course of the winter. So if he's able to make an impression in spring training, maybe we see him at some point in 2025, though I will stipulate, if we see a lot of Drake Baldwin behind the plate this year, something's going wrong. And we don't want that to be the case, because you need a healthy Sean Murphy.
He is the host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley, joining us. Grant, before I let you go, anybody else we should listen out for? Maybe someone who's been an invitee to the big league camp, just to see what he can do. Someone that may be there with some big league experience and can show themselves this spring and end up on this opening day roster.
Well, actually, I need to kind of clear up an oversight. We're talking about the starting rotation. Grant Holmes is a guy that we saw last year who really served in a variety of roles. He came up as kind of a long reliever, spot starter, and by the time the season had wound up, he had really made an impression, and they're going to give him that opportunity to start as well. So when you do think about that starting four, without Spencer Strider, I think Grant Holmes has really got, and again, to use that term, the inside track on one of those jobs. Then the Ian Andersons, A.J. Smith-Shawvers, Hurston Waldrops, Bryce Elders, whoever it may be, you're going to use them all. I do feel like that. You go through this depth over the course of the year. So keeping an eye on all of those starting candidates to see who really pops this spring training is going to be big. One of the guys that I did see in camp, though, from a non-roster invite side of things is Chasen Shreve. He came up with the Braves in 2014. He's a lefty with 11 years in the big leagues. He would be a guy that, as you looked to round out this bullpen, maybe could factor in to their math with no A.J. Minter, with no Joe Jimenez. That's going to be an adjustment for the Braves as well. Yes, you have Dylan Lee. Yes, you have Aaron Bummer, but I don't think you can have too many good lefty relievers. Angel Perdomo is another guy to keep an eye on. Big strikeout numbers with Pittsburgh. Rehab from Tommy John last year. Braves have got to make a decision on him in camp this year. And Daisbell Hernandez, the Braves have had him up the last couple of years. Could he be somebody that really just takes a huge step forward in this bullpen? That would go a long way for the Braves, especially with Jimenez out for what could be the majority of 2025. So lots of names, maybe not a whole lot of open spots, but the pitching staff, it'll have to come into focus, and we're going to see what happens with games starting, what, a week from today. As far as Grapefruit League action is concerned, it's right around the corner.
And you didn't spoil those 80-degree temperatures in the sun down there, Grant.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I'm going to have to trade those in for, I'm assuming, some cooler weather when I come back north to Atlanta this weekend.
Yeah, it was a little bit cooler up here, but great stuff down that way. Sounds like a great start to spring training. We can't wait. It's going to be a big season, all-star game coming to town, but we want to see the Braves in first place as well, man. Thanks so much for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you, Sam. I always appreciate it. Great talking to you.
All right. He's the host of From the Diamond, Grant McCauley, joining us. And once again, if you want to follow him, he is social. Follow him at Grant McCauley, all lowercase. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com. You got Sam and Jason in for the morning shift this morning. So glad you're with us on this President's Day Monday morning. Those of you who have the day off, enjoying the day off, and maybe you're going to some of the President's Day sales. We'll get into that today because, you know, this holiday is notorious for getting people to go shopping, right? Why is that?
I have no idea, and it's not like the usual things that are on sale. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Mattresses.
Why?
I don't know.
Why specifically mattresses in the middle of February?
I don't know.
It is Mattress Farm Day.
I know it.
Yes.
The mattresses are on. If you need one today, folks, today is the day to go get it. Who knew? We did a little exploring here about what's on sale for these President's Day sales, and mattresses are at the top of the list. Who knew?
Sure.
Who knew? Did not know it. My goodness, we just enjoyed hearing Grant McCauley in that radio replay talking about Braves baseball, getting us all set for something. Something else is happening is basketball tournament time is on the way. The high school tournament, by the way, gets started this week. But we're just a couple of weeks away from the college conference tournaments, and then March Madness we get set for. And in recent years, Jason, the women's show has been more intriguing than the men's show.
Yeah, it feels like the talent is really spread out across a number of different schools. We were just talking about it. You look at the top 10 coming into this week, which is going to dramatically change because you had the number one team in the country lose earlier in the week. UCLA lost to USC. South Carolina lost yesterday. They were number four. LSU lost. They were number five. NC State lost. They were number 10. UConn had lost the week before to Tennessee. They're number seven, but then they beat South Carolina. So it's really competitive.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, along with, yeah, the superstars that we've seen over the past couple of years, women's college basketball is in a lot of ways healthier than men's college basketball.
In a lot of ways, because the players are there for multiple seasons, whereas if a guy has a great season, he's going to bounce out and go try to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, and so with the women's game, usually they're there for several seasons. You get a chance to associate them with the school and with the coach. And we, you know, women's basketball hadn't run all their top coaches out.
Hey, but wait, the portal and NIL is going to affect it too. And you're going to see more players transfer around. I think Because, look, it's turning into a really good business.
And the NIL is going to be there. So
yeah.
People are going to put the money into the programs. That's the direction it's going to go. I don't know. We got Noelle on the other side of the glass, and she keeps an eye on a lot of things. Noelle, I don't know how you feel about that, how the transfer of Portland NIL is. It could be a good thing, but could it be a bad thing? And so you have these players moving around.
I mean, yeah, like Jason said, we've already starting to see the disgruntled rumblings in the women's side of the basketball world about, you know, more playing time and trying to get the NIL money and whether they're going to enter the portal. And, you know, we're seeing the sports dads say the word "we" about their children in these sports decisions when it comes to women basketball right now. And that, you know, that comes with a catch-22, but it shows you where women's basketball, what it's becoming and the pedestal of it, how it's growing. So, I saw a dad, I forgot what team this player was on, but I saw a dad the other day saying, "Nah, we're not going in the portal." I said, "We." I said, "Oh, we had a whole new level." But yeah, we're gonna see more of that, because that's just what comes with the growth and popularity of the sport, right? The more popular, or not even the more popular player. Sometimes you're that fourth or fifth popular player on the team,
yeah.
Right? And you see an avenue where you can be that number one or two player on another team and maybe be in that bracket of money.
I see Haley Van Lith has been at three different schools in the last 3 years.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Haley's on the traveling tour, ain't she?
Yeah, you know? But hey, I mean, she's collecting some money somewhere.
And some medals.
Look,
it included Paris.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean,
that's a good thing.
It is.
That part of it
is great. And that's why I say it's a catch-22. Like,
yeah.
You're going to have some of the other stuff with it. That's just what comes with it.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, growing the sport, it's because Haley Van Lith, like, her she's a name.
Yeah,
like, people
100%.
Know who she is, no matter how many teams that she bounces to. I mean, when she announced her third team, I was like, oh, another one.
How many years of eligibility does she have left, by the way?
That's a good question, too.
Can't be much more.
She might be the Bo Nix of women's college basketball.
But that's another element, and that goes into, like, all college sports. But I think women's college basketball might be the most interesting component of it. You know, I'm hearing rumblings in the soccer world on the college side of allowing a fifth year of eligibility, just in general.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, you had the COVID year that we finished that now. Everybody who had a COVID year, I think, is done as of this school year. But there's been talk, and I've heard it specifically from players who have been hearing these elements. Hey, they might give another year. You might get a fifth year just across the board.
Wow.
And it gets into this interesting thing. I think women's college basketball is such an interesting element of it. Women's soccer is, too. Of can you potentially, for some of these schools that do a good job with NIL, do a good job with sponsorships, is it more lucrative to stay in college, play a fifth year, than to go professional and play and get a rookie contract?
Yeah,
for some it will be.
And that's becoming a real conversation across all sports, right? Like, if you become the cream of the cream of that sport, if you can become that top-tier soccer player or that top-tier, even a top-tier golfer, whatever, if you can make yourself a name at the school, you can get the NIL money, right? Like, that's the conversation we're having. And if you feel like it's an avenue here or there, or to your point, adding a fifth year, letting them stay longer and grow their game and grow their name, so that maybe by that third year, you know, you start to become, like, synonymous with the program.
It's an interesting trade. And you look at what we're just talking about, Sam, and I think we see it on the men's college basketball side a lot, where players don't stay very long. The stars don't.
Nope.
But here's the trade-off for some of the schools. If you give players a fifth year, your top-end player might not stay. But you might have somebody play 5 years at your program, be recognizable, grow your program, and get people connected to it. Because we've had this conversation about all of our teams here in Atlanta. When you have somebody who's there for a long time and they become an institution, fans get connected to that player, which connects them to that team. A fifth year for college athletes might be an interesting route. I wonder how that would get phased in and how it would look.
Basketball is the one sport, because if you're talking about five people in your shortest roster. So if you get a nucleus to stay together a longer period of time, when you get to tournament time, that's when you see the difference. The people,
100%.
I always say the people you can turn the lights out in the gym and they can find each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why? Because they've been together for a time.
Chemistry. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Interesting thing yesterday, 71-game home win streak snapped with South Carolina by Gino Auriemma in UConn. A lot of people were counting Gino Auriemma off and maybe thought he was ready to ride off into the sunset. Not so fast, my friend. He showed it yesterday and beat Don Staley's team.
I mean, what were they thinking or were they hoping?
You know?
Like, sometimes a thought sounds like a hope. Like, man, like, you know, it should be about time for Gino to go in and pack it up and go on out of here. Nah, man, that you come to, and you kind of expect it with the kind of roster they have. You know, they have the big superstar in Paige Buckers, and you know, a loss is one thing, but they got beat down. They got beat up yesterday. They got beat up. I mean, 71 to 56. I mean, they got beat up.
Yep, big time, big time, big time. What did Coach have to? What Coach have some remarks after this?
Yeah, we got Coach here talking about what went wrong for her Gamecocks.
Transition, imbalance, bad shots will produce points for a UConn team. They just don't allow you to get back in it to set your defense up. By the time you think about it, the three is going up and through the net.
See, they know what it is with a Gina Auriemma team. They know what it is.
Wow.
But here's the thing. Dawn Staley is one of the best coaches in any sport period right now.
100%.
Flat out. She is one of the great coaches, and she's never going to admit it, but she's very happy to get this loss right here because she gets to go back to her players getting ready for what really matters, the tournament.
Yep.
Right.
And it hit some very heavy reminders.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have that. Can't do that. Can't let that happen again. It becomes a real blessing for her to get her squad ready for the postseason.
Yeah, it's a conversation we have all the time in sports. Like, you have a runaway team, and you're asking yourself, but are they battle-tested?
Yep.
But when they get to the playoffs, when they really, really get to – like, we can take the Eagles, for example. I firmly believe Saquon Barkley dropping that walk-in touchdown made him look in the mirror and go, never again, tighten up.
Yeah.
That was it for the season.
It's important. I mean, you see teams who have, you know, great winning streaks in South Carolina at home, you know, you start to take it for granted. 70-plus wins at home. We just show up, we win. That's what we do. When you have that moment of, okay, wait a minute, I got to deliver every single time. I have to be locked in. It can spur you on to an even greater level. And I think for South Carolina, that's what this can do. It's good for them to get this loss here.
Yeah, this is going to be valuable tape when they watch it.
I think it sets the stage for really things when the tournament comes. Some backstories now. We had Kim Mulkey's team lose to Texas yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing that happened this week with Southern Cal and UCLA. Just setting the stage, I think, for a lot of great drama when the NCAA Women's Tournament takes place. One of the regionals will be in Birmingham, by the way. The Final Four is going to be in Tampa. Now, watch for this Georgia Tech team that is 19th ranked. They got a win over Wake Forest yesterday, 73-61. That's 21 wins for them. Nell Fortin has done quite a bit with this team. And we talked about yesterday how Maya Moore kind of set this march out of state for some of the top girls players. And Nell Fortin is very proud of her freshman class over there. And she has four freshmen that are from the metro Atlanta area that are playing and making a difference over there. She's very proud of that. We talked about how Georgia, you know, can't get the toothpaste back in the tube over there as far as the women's basketball. And Fortin had this to say about her team's effort after the game.
I thought we really we hung tough when we had to hang tough. And we did some things in this game that I was really pleased about. I thought that, I mean, we pressed. We're trying to press more and create some turnovers, and we did. We had 15 steals. That might be a record. I don't know, Liz. You're going to have to look that up. But I thought that part of the game was definitely a game changer for us when we did that in the second half. We're pressing and trapping and turning them over. So,
you know, she's accomplished a lot in the game of basketball. If you look at what Nell Fortin has done, I mean, she came here after a stint of, you know, broadcasting with ESPN, but she's coached at Auburn. She's coached the U.S. national team. She's coaching the WNBA. She coached Indiana Fever.
Mm-hmm.
So to come to Atlanta and do what she's doing at the Georgia Tech program and get some of our home folks, really great players, to stay close to home is pretty big, I think.
Here's what I love about where women's college basketball is. And Noel, I want to get your input on this because I get asked all the time about soccer and Atlanta United and what that does to the next generation. So people go to Atlanta United games. Kids go to Atlanta United games. I want to be like Miguel Almiron. I want to be like Latte Lott. I want to be a star and play in that building. The Atlanta Dream are really setting up for a big year this year.
Yeah, man.
New faces coming, a lot of hype. What does that do for girls who want to play basketball in this area and then want to play for the Dream, but along the way, want to play at Georgia Tech, want to play at Georgia?
Well, it has to be inspiring to, one, to be able to be in a city where you can go and see professional women's basketball and to go see top-level collegiate women's basketball, right? Like, you have the opportunity to go to Gateway Center if you want to, or to go to Tech or State or Georgia or any of these places and watch some high-caliber basketball, and just being able to see it, right? Because, like, when I was a kid, the league was just established in, what, 97? So I was, like, 7 years old. That when I first saw, like, Alisa Leslie dribble the ball. Like, when I was a kid and I first started playing basketball, I didn't know what a point guard was. Nobody explained it to me, and I was the shortest person on the court. So, you know, long story short, I hated it. But I felt like if I had more examples of what it was on my side of the court and how cool the position could be, I might have felt differently about the effort I put into it. And so I think that's the difference for these girls now in basketball and in soccer. Like, you can actually see the fruits of someone else's labor to know it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see. I mean, Brittany Griner coming to the Dream is going to be huge, I think.
Oh, man.
And you're going to get to see, you know, girls in these high school programs that we're talking about right now say, man, I could do that. I want to do that. What does it take to get there?
Yep. And you mentioned somebody, you know, Lisa Leslie. How about the fact that she and Angel Reese are spending a lot of time together?
A lot of time together.
Podcasts working out together. And Angel is opening up and listening. You know, she's ready to receive that from her. Of course, Angel's hamburger deal is out there.
I was about to say, Angel putting checks in pockets right now. Angel is a stimulus check for the haters and the lovers. Angel is a stimulus check.
You know what I mean?
Riding that wave. It's good. Hey, take that money when you can get that money.
Yeah, she said everybody can eat. It's enough money, haters included. Get your YouTube video off. It's all good.
I love that you have that kind of give and take. And look, Caitlin Clark is going to get a ton of attention. That's great. She's a great player.
Oh, yeah.
Angel Reese is a great player.
Yeah.
It's good to have multiple great players. When you just have that one, it can be hard. When you have multiple ones, everybody's got somebody they can grab onto and say, I want to be like that one, not that one.
And yeah, because we're getting to the point where you have one of those players on every franchise.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Look, Ryan Howard here.
I was just about to say, yeah, like Ryan Howard, Alisha Gray, like they can be those caliber players. Mm-hmm. You've seen a lot of rookies come in with the, like, imagine being Cameron Brake and Rekia Jackson, and now you have Plum Dog coming in.
Yep,
you got Kelsey Plum,
yep,
a vet that's won a ring, that's coming in there, whose confidence is off the charts. Like, they asked her the other day about moving to L.A., and she's like, I'm a winner. Everything I do, I win. So I'm confident. That was like, oh, okay.
That's the element,
ma'am,
that I'm loving about women's college basketball.
Yeah.
And I want to see that come over into the soccer side for the women. I think for so long, they haven't been allowed to show personality and to be confident and to have that swagger. They haven't hyped that element up. That's what sells.
Yeah, that's what gets us excited. Megan Rapinoe cool.
Yes, yes,
absolutely.
Like, she had flair and style.
Yes.
And all that. That's why everybody was on Trinity Rodman.
That's what I was with Triple Espresso, with Sophia, with Trinity, with Mallory.
Yeah,
they have
Mallory.
Personality. Mm-hmm. It's good. Like, let's embrace that.
Yeah, personality in sports is a moneymaker.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It just is.
Absolutely. Absolutely, folks. All right, we're headed for the next hour. We're going to talk some NFL. We're going to check in with Russell Baxter. Always great when we get a chance to spend some time with him. That's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. You want to stay tuned for that. And coming up next, we're going to talk more about Atlanta United and its influence. Also going to talk about some racing as NASCAR is coming up to Atlanta this week. They're going to make a left turn, end up at Atlanta Motor Speedway. We're going to talk a little bit about that week and what you can watch for and be a part of here in town this week. It is Sam. It is Jason in for the morning shift on this President's Day Monday. We'll also talk about what's for sale when you stay with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.